Amen. How many got a Bible? Wave it at me. Amen. Wonderful. Wave it. Thank God I want you to follow. Chad's going to come and do a reading this morning. Turn to 1 Chronicles chapter number 21. And Chad will do the reading and I'll do the preaching.
Page 589 in the Canterbury. 1 Chronicles chapter 21. The Bible says this. And Satan stood up against Israel and provoked David to number Israel. And David said to Joab and to the rulers of the people, go, number Israel from Beersheba even to Dan, and bring the number of them to me that I may know it. And Joab answered, the Lord make his people 100 times so many more as they be. But my Lord the king, are they not all my Lord's servants? Why then doth my Lord require this thing? Why will he be a cause of trespass to Israel? Nevertheless, the king's word prevailed against Joab. Wherefore Joab departed and went throughout all Israel and came to Jerusalem. And Joab gave the sum of the number of the people unto David. And all they of Israel were 1,000,000 and 100,000 men that drew sword. And Judah was 400, 70, and 10,000 men that drew sword. But Levi and Benjamin counted he not among them, for the king's word was abominable to Joab. And God was displeased with this thing. Therefore he smote Israel. And David said unto God, I have sinned greatly because I have done this thing. But now I beseech thee, do away the iniquity of thy servant, for I have done very foolishly. And the Lord spake unto Gad, David's seer, saying, go and tell David, saying, thus saith the Lord, I offer thee 3 things. Choose thee one of them, that I may do it unto thee. So Gad came to David and said unto him, thus saith the Lord, choose thee either 3 years famine or 3 months to be destroyed before thy foes, while that the sword of thine enemies overtaketh thee, or else 3 days the sword of the Lord, even the pestilence in the land, and the angel of the Lord destroying throughout all the coasts of Israel. Now therefore advise thyself what word I shall bring again to him that sent me. And David said unto Gad, I am in a great strait. Let me fall now into the hand of the Lord, for very great are his mercies. But let me not fall into the hand of man. So the Lord sent pestilence upon Israel, and there fell of Israel 70,000 men. And God sent an angel unto Jerusalem to destroy it. And as he was destroying, the Lord beheld, and he repented him of the evil, and said to the angel that destroyed, it is enough. Stay now thine hand. And the angel of the Lord stood by the threshing floor of Ornan the Jebusite. And David lifted up his eyes and saw the angel of the Lord stand between the earth and the heaven, having a drawn sword in his hand stretched out over Jerusalem. Then David and the elders of Israel, who were clothed in sackcloth, fell upon their faces. And David said unto God, is it not I that commanded the people to be numbered? Even I it is that have sinned and done evil indeed. But as for these sheep, what have they done? Let thy hand, I pray thee, O Lord my God, be on me and on my father's house, but not on thy people, that they should be plagued. Then the angel of the Lord commanded Gad to say to David, that David should go up and set up an altar unto the Lord in the threshing floor of Ornan the Jebusite. And David went up at the saying of Gad, which he spake in the name of the Lord. And Ornan turned back and saw the angel, and his 4 sons with him hid themselves. Now Ornan was threshing wheat. And as David came to Ornan, Ornan looked and saw David and went out of the threshing floor and bowed himself to David with his face to the ground. Then David said to Ornan, Grant me the place of this threshing floor, that I may build an altar therein unto the Lord. Thou shalt grant it me for the full price, that the plague may be stayed from the people. And Ornan said unto David, take it to thee, and let my lord the king do that which is good in his eyes. Lo, I give thee the oxen also for burnt offerings, and the threshing instruments for wood, and the wheat for the meat offering. I give it all.
Thank you, Pastor. What a powerful passage of scriptures. Amen. Good to be here this morning. I'm going to give you a little bit of introduction, and I've got something on my heart. Verse number one, Satan stood up. Ladies and gentlemen, look at me. If you think you're going to get through this life without Satan standing up and provoking you and trying to get you to fall, you're living in a different world than I am. Somebody say amen. And I'll tell you how Satan always does it. See, he tempted him to number Israel. Satan always deals with our flesh. This is not my message, but I want to preach this a little bit. And our ego. How many marriages have felt fallen because of ego? How many businesses have been crushed because of ego? How many lives have been messed up just because of ego? Somebody help me preach. And by the way, one of his chief guys said, don't do that. Hey, God's blessed you, David. That's enough, isn't it? By the way, we ought not be going around and bragging about how much God's blessed us. We ought to just be praising God for what he's done for us. Somebody, and lifting him up for who he is. I was going to preach that, but that sounded good to me. And this very thing displeased God. How many times have you and I, in this journey of faith, have done things that displeased God? Somebody ought to raise your hand and say, I sure have, but I am glad for a God of second chances. I'm glad for God that'll bless me. And God done what he always done. He went to told Gad the seer. By the way, I just call him the preacher. Amen. Preacher, you go down there and tell him he got three choices. I'm going somewhere. Y'all just stay with me. You got three choices. You could have 3 years of famine and starve to death. You can have 3 months of your enemies overtaking you and destroying you. Or you could have 3 days under the sword of God or the sword of the Lord. I want you to know he thought about it. He meditated on it. He prayed about it. And here's what he said. I think I'm going to go with the 3 days of God's sword. You know why he said that? Boy, I'm going somewhere here. This is not my message either, but I'm getting happy. Because I know this about God. He's a merciful God. I know know this, Jeff, about God. He's merciful. And I tell you what, I'd rather be under the hand of God than be under the hand of man. Because I want all y'all to know, you ever make a mistake with men, you ever fail before men, they ain't likely to ever forgive you, much more forget what you done. Because see, we're not much on mercy. But I want you to know, he that showeth mercy will get mercy. Oh, I'm about ready to preach, and it's not even my message. Thank God. You said, what do you want to be in your life, Preacher Smith? I don't want to give myself to men. I don't want them to have to choose what's going to come on me. I just soon let God take over and let God be merciful. And I want you to know, God, the angel of God came through the land. He destroyed 70,000 people. And God said, it's enough. And God said to him, I want you to go down to the threshing floor of Ornan. And I want you to offer a burnt offering there. Amen. I want you to repent. I want you to come clean before God. Somebody help me preach. And when he got down there, can I give you a side note, put in your notes? How many of y'all not really familiar with the threshing floor of Ornan? Raise your hand if you're, be honest. You don't know what it is or where it was. How many of you know where it is and where it was? Oh, y'all's not participating. Well, I'm going to tell you. It is the very place of the temple. And on the southern end of that same mountain, when our Lord Jesus Christ, it will be the very place of the tribulation temple. It'll be the very place of the millennial temple. Somebody help me preach. You said, I never knew that. Well, you just found out. Somebody say amen. Some significance there. And David went down there. And he told Ornan, he said, I'll tell you what. I want a bite. And I'll give you top dollar. I'll give you more than it's worth. And here's what Ornan said. I don't want a dime. I give all. We're living in a day. Enough with the games. Enough with the gimmicks. Enough with playing. We need to surrender our whole life, our whole being, everything that we are to Almighty God. And you'll find out when you have surrendered it all to God. God will bless you beyond whatever you've ever thought. Somebody help me preach. He don't want a little bit of you. He wants all. I beseech you, brother, by the mercy of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice. And I wonder how many of us in this room would say, guilty? I don't do that much. Three things or four I want to give you. First of all, verses 20 through 22, Ornan had reverence for his ruler. He realized David had a problem. He knew, hey, he saw the angel. He knew judgment had been in the land. He knew 70,000 people died. And he realized the problem. Ladies and gentlemen, three out of four high school teenagers lose their virginity before they get out of high school. 20% of 7th and 8th graders are smoking dope. 11 hours and 20 minutes your children and some, most of you adults spend on social media. At least in all the sitcoms on TV, at least they have one homosexual. Somebody help me preach. The accessibility of pornography and wickedness. 52% of Christians, at least once a month, open up pornography. 42% of people that say they're in love God drink at least once a month. You said, do we have a problem? Oh, Houston, we got a problem. And it's sin. And it's wickedness. And David said, you know what David said? I wish every one of us say this. He said, it ain't on you. It ain't on you. How many marriages be right today if you say, it ain't on you, it's on me? How many people would have some power of God if they wouldn't say, it's not on you, it's on me. Oh, it's easy to blame the preacher. It's easy to blame the deacon board. It's easy to blame people in the church. But let's be honest, when we sin, when we fail, it's not on them, it's on you. Let me go on. I got a lot of preaching. I got to hurry. Not only did he realize the problem, he recognized the person. Woo! Cain came strolling in on his chariots. Man, I'm telling you what. I think this. If you folks in this church would realize your king. Hey, Dr. Harrison, if we realize our king and welcome into our life, it wouldn't be no problem for us to sacrifice, for us to be separated, for us to be holy. Why do you have to wait on a preacher to put you on a guilt trip or wait on a preacher to plow your field when all you need to do is recognize him as king? He's the omnipotent one. He's the omniscient one. Oh, glory. Hallelujah. He's the ever-present one. He's El Shaddai. He's Jehovah Nissa. He is the Lord. 700 years before he's born, Isaiah said he's wonderful, counselor, mighty God, everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. He healed the leper. He cleansed the leper, healed the blind. Somebody help me. And how many of y'all know that he saved your soul and brought you from ruin, and now you're a child of God? I'll tell you what our problem is. We're too worried about what Tiger or LeBron. I want you to know LeBron James ain't no king to me. He's a radical. Good preacher, Reverend. That's what's wrong with us now. The world, Hollywood, and all this junk is our king. I want you ever, if you ever get hooked on Jesus, and you ever get really adoring Jesus, you'll bow down like David did. And you'll say, I'll give all. It don't matter to me. It ain't mine anyway. You give it to me anyway. Everything we got this morning's because of God. Your mind's because of God. You're graduating from high school's because of God. You're getting through college is because of God. You have a wonderful family because of God. He had respect for his position. Now, I don't want to plow this way long with some more. You know why I see less commitment instead of more in our church? You know why I see a falling off from people? There'll be people decide not to come to church tonight. There'll be people, well, yeah, they're building a building. I'll let all them do it. How about you? Amen. Is he worthy? Right. Is he your king? Secondly, he had a readiness to react. Amen. Amen. Somebody help me. He wasn't living in Smurf world. His day didn't involve Facebook. He's the only thing. You can have it all. Hey, when the preacher says we need a pie to be made. When somebody says we need somebody to come to a prayer meeting. So we can find God. How ready are we to react? We're going to have a jubilee here in about 3 weeks. I wonder how our 35th annual, I just wonder how much we want God. How ready are we to react? How much do we want the Shekinah power of God on us? I want to say this to you. Because this in here kind of makes me sick anyway. And there was no reason for him to pray. You know one of the biggest cop-outs I see in Christians? Well, would you get committed? Well, I'll pray about it. Amen. Would you pay your tithe? I'll pray about it. Will you be faithful in church? I'll pray about it. I want to say, y'all, did you read that text? He didn't get down and pray. The king says, I need it. And he said, here it is. What, no prayers? Please, let's quit taking a holy thing like prayer and putting it into something that we're supposed to be doing by the will of God and we're supposed to be obedient about, and we don't need to pray about it. That's good preaching. I'll tell you why you do it. You want to get out of something. I'll pray about it. I'll pray about the building fund. But I do want to use it. I pray about helping your pastor. But do want you to stay faithful. I want you to know there's some things that you know to do right that does not need prayer. And then I want you. Thirdly, I'm hurrying. That's good. How many things it's all right? And he had no right to procrastinate. Because the angels they already had 70,000. 70,000 die. We don't need no putting off. Ladies and gentlemen, America's in trouble. Most Baptist churches are in trouble. They're letting people behind pulpits. They're not even worthy to be there. Not because they make a mistake. Everybody does. It's because their heart's not right. And they're not doing it because of God. They're doing it because of self. Somebody help me preach. Woo! All right. Thirdly, I see a relinquishing of resources. Look what verse 23 says. David said, I'll pay you. And I'm going somewhere with this. I may add one more point to show you something. He said, I give all. First of all, if you're going to give all, that means you can't have a selfish attitude. Somebody here, amen. I have people tell me this. Come on, look at me. He said, well, I got my life planned. And it sounds okay. I'm not even faulting you. I want to be honest with you. Don't try to plan your life. Let God plan it. And he may, hey, by the way, he may just tell you you need to be a preacher. He may just tell you you need to be a missionary. He may, hey, by the way, if you're doing that because of the call of God, can I tell you there ain't nothing greater in this world? Am I preaching, Jed? Not a soliciting act. Did David ask him for that thing for nothing? Did he? But on his own, hold on, you're my king. You're my Lord. I don't need to be solicited. I give all. Why is it? You want? Can I be transferred a minute? Why is it I got to beg you to be faithful? What is it that I almost had to browbeat people to even come to church? I'll say this to you. It ought not to be. I ought not to have to solicit you to do what's right. Am I preaching? And I will give you this. He had no problem. Surrender it all. This week, a little something, and she's going to get mad at me for saying this. Just a little something happened this week. Pastor Smith had a problem. Y'all know we've had a lot on us. And I really wanted Wednesday night to be great. And we had a great crowd Wednesday night. And I asked one of the ladies in the church, I won't say her name. I asked her, I said, and I know she has problems physically. I said, would you make me 250 cupcakes? Then I told her, I said, I'll go to Spring Hill. She said, well, them ain't very good. And she didn't pray about it. She just said, preacher, you need it, I'll do it. I got to tell all y'all, I've been riding on that kind of faith. You said, that ain't a big thing. Don't have to be a big thing. I tell her this morning, thank you. I tell every one of you that are serving God, thank you. Because see, that's what it takes. Let me give you a little bit at the end. I have one more point, but I may not put that here. This morning, if you're a sinner and you're in this room lost and hellbound, I'll tell you what God wants. He wants all. He wants you to realize how wicked, how terrible, how exceedingly sinful you are. And come and repent and believe the gospel. Here's what I'm worried about. I'm concerned. A lot of people that comes to church have never really been saved because they've never really repented and saw themselves exceedingly sinful. The night I got saved, I knew how wicked I was. And I went and said, God, forgive me. My dad, when I got, he came, was one of my first converts in my first church. You always said, Lois, he got up out of the church, went all the way to the back, came running down the aisle. You always said, he didn't have the best prayer in the world, but it was pretty good. He screamed it out. He said, God, God, forgive me as a sinner. I tell you what happened. My dad got rid of his business, bar business, got rid of all the sin, and followed God. Salvation is more than signing a card. Salvation is more than being a church member. Salvation is more than being up here in the baptistry. It is repenting and trusting Christ. And I want to say this, I'm closing. You know what God wants out of all you this morning? He wants your surrender to His service. He's not trying to ask you anything unreasonable. I just want you to acknowledge me as King. I want you to sell out to me. Be willing to do it all. Now, I'm going to walk down here. Not very far. I'm not going to preach hard, but I want to bring this point in. I didn't read the rest of the chapter for a reason. But I'll tell you the rest of the chapter. Here's what we've done, Lois. I'm scared to death to give him all. Look what I'm going to lose. Man, that's risky. That's risky. If you want to read the rest of the chapter, go find it. He was willing to surrender all. But if you read the rest of the chapter, Wayne, David went ahead and bought it anyhow. And gave him money anyhow. Looky here. Oh, happy day when I got saved by the grace of God. And I said, God, it is yours. But I want all y'all to know, because of my surrender, He's gave me more than I deserve, more than I've ever wanted. I've had one of the greatest lives of any man in this world. I'm a blessed human being, and all you got to do to get it is I give all. Bow your heads with me. Heads bowed. How many in this room would say, I know if I die today, I'm going to heaven? Raise your hand. Hold them high. Thank you. How many in this room would admit something? Preacher, I love God, but I haven't given all. I'm holding back some, preach. And I know it. But I want God to be pleased with me. And I want you to pray for me. That I just surrender to His will. How many slip up your hand? All the house, yes. Yes, 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 yes. How many of you? Maybe you did like David and you folks are coming. And you sinned. And you said, I don't want to be 3 years of famine, 3 months under the enemy, but I need God's mercy. How many this morning you've made a mistake, you've sinned, you goofed, you flopped, and you need God's mercy this morning? Raise your hand. Just goofed it up. See them. Folks are coming. Will you stand right now? Head still bowed. How many right now? Say, I'm not saved, preacher, but I want you to pray for me. Anybody here lost? Raise your hand. Anybody? Anybody? Invitations to you. If I was you, I'd bring my family. I'd bring my children, my grandchildren, and surrender all. Father, we love you. Thank you for this little passage of Scripture. We bless your name. In Jesus' name I pray. Help folks just to pray. Amen.